Well, each and every fall, there is one of baseball's best-kept secrets right here in Arizona. It's the Arizona Fall League. Some of the top talent and stars of tomorrow are playing all over the state, and you can check them out at very affordable prices. But wanted to break some of those guys down, so wanted to bring on Will Bohr. He's a reporter for MLB and MLB Pipeline. Will, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. And you were right about best kept secret. The Fall League is a ton of fun and not all that well known.
And now you're one of the hardest working baseball writers I know. You even got locked in the stadium in the first week of the Fall League. Is that right?
Yes, that was right. I had a we'll call it a situation Saturday. Got locked in Peoria Sports Complex. Made it out okay. Had to get a little bit creative, but all's well now. It's officially now my second time being locked in a stadium.
So how did you get out of said stadium?
I found a trash can on the concourse, kind of dragged it over to the gate, climbed up on the trash can, and then hopped to the fence. I was telling friends and everything, though, the first time I got locked in a stadium was like 2 years ago, and I ripped my pants on my escape route. So this time, everything intact, nothing ripped, whatever. So I'm getting better stadium jailbreak.
Yeah, you were resourceful and clearly getting better at it. That's a sign of a good reporter. So with this league, I remember, you know, a couple of years ago watching a very, very young Bryce Harper playing in the Fall League, and I think I got in for like $4 or something like that. How beneficial is it for having these top guys come in and participate in the Arizona Fall League when it comes to their development?
Yeah, I think it's huge because not only do they get, like, the simple obvious fact is they just get more reps. The season ended a couple weeks ago. Their season extends by 6 weeks. And whether they played a full year and they're just getting 6 more weeks, or whether they missed time for injury and are, you know, making up for that, either way, more reps are always good. But I think the other benefit that this league provides is these players, since it's the best of the best from all the various organizations, you're getting those additional reps against top flight competition. And you're also just getting to interact with different people, whether it's different players, different coaches, et cetera, et cetera. You're getting more exposure to different techniques, different schools of thought, all that sort of stuff. So that really helps you as well, because maybe a different coach from a different organization just sees something a little bit different. Or you can talk to, you know, a fellow player who throws his ball this way, and you know, all those little things really start to add up.
Now, I know the roster reveals are always highly anticipated. I was even messaging you, you know, prior to the announcement, if you had an idea on, you know, when we would know who's going to be participating in it. With this year's class, how do you think it stacks up to previous years of the Arizona Fall League?
It's really good. I like it. It's funny. When you see the rosters, you know, we judge based on how many of top 100 prospects and how many of a team's top prospects are on their rosters and stuff. But it's also fun for me to go back a year later or 2 years later and look at the rosters and be like, okay, wow, like maybe that roster was really good, or even just like it was really cool to see him. Like, you know, last year Pete Alonso was here and now he's out there dropping 50 homers. So it's cool like that. But yeah, I think these rosters are really good. It came out with 20 top 100 prospects and then some roster changes. I think we were down to 18, but still a really solid number, and there's still a lot of talent out there every single night.
Now, if there's a baseball fan that wants to see the best of the best of this group, if there are a couple headliners within this this year's class, who would you say those guys are?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Adell, he's off to a slow start here. He's hitting under like 100, but I assume he's gonna, you know, start figuring out soon. He's our number 5 overall prospect. You don't obviously earn that ranking lightly. Royce Lewis, who's our number 9 overall prospect, he's here. He's playing on the Salt River team. He's been really impressive so far. He's hit a couple homers. Cool thing with him is he's a shortstop, but wants to work on some like versatility. So I've actually seen him. I haven't actually seen him play shortstop. I've seen him play two games at third and a game in center as well. Jared Kelenic, Mariners top prospects here. He had his wisdom teeth removed right after the season, so I'm actually not. I haven't seen him in action yet. I don't think he's played, but he's here and he's going to play. He's just, you know, needs some swelling to go down in his cheeks and all that. And then Forrest Whitley, one of our top pitching prospects, he was here last year and he threw really well here. And he had a rough season, some injuries, command issues, but he looked good in his first fall league start the other day. Struck out 6 over like 4 innings, I believe. So he'd be a fun one to watch as well.
Talking to Will Boor, reporter for MLB and MLB Pipeline. Now the Diamondbacks are well represented, like they usually are in the Arizona Fall League. You know, when you look at the group, Seth Beer, Geraldo Perdomo, Jake McCarthy, a couple of the top guys in there. Who's jumped out the most to you from these Arizona organizations that are participating in the Arizona Fall League?
I think it's Perdomo. He just surprised me. I hadn't seen him in person, so the first thing that kind of jumped off the page when I watched him take BP was just his size. He was just bigger than I thought. But also, he's hit better. He's hit really well. I've really been impressed with him at the plate. Obviously, it's only 5 games so far, so a small sample size. But he is hitting 300. He's stolen a couple bases, so that's shown some speed. I really liked what I've seen from him. It's been a good showing so far. I'm curious to see if he keeps it up throughout the rest of the fall league.
And I saw you write a couple of days ago, Matt Peacock, a guy that isn't highly ranked within the Diamondbacks organization, but a guy that you really wanted to see as well.
Yeah, I saw him throw the other day. He's made one start. It was an okay start. There were some flashes of stuff. So I liked what I saw, but also it looked like someone that needs to work on some consistency but could be there. It was the kind of guy that, like, you know, a batter here, I'd be like, oh, that was some really good stuff. And you kind of see stuff flash, then he'd walk the next guy or whatever, stuff like that. But as far as someone who isn't highly ranked and doesn't have a ton of buzz generating around him, he definitely looked like someone that has the stuff necessary to succeed and someone that if he does well here over these next, 5 weeks now, could really boost his stock.
Now, I know everybody is different in their kind of prospect journey and, you know, getting to the major leagues, but who among this Diamondbacks group could fans see at the major league level in the next year or two?
Well, I guess if he does well, possibly Peacock, especially because, one, he was already in Double-A, and then two, because, you know, pitchers go up and down so often, so that's kind of a easy, cheap call, because that could be, you know, a spot start or mm-hmm. just relieving or whatever. I think Beer has a chance late next year. That might be kind of pushing it, but if he has a big year and then September call-up sort of thing. Otherwise, I'm trying to think if I might be forgetting a Diamondback, but otherwise I think we might be, with the rest of them, might be talking 2021.
Okay, gotcha. There are some other locals here participating in it, not just within the Diamondbacks organization, but Ryan Castellani of the Rockies played his prep ball at Brophy College Prep. Just how have you seen him develop over the past couple of years? And I feel like he's a name that pops up whenever you're talking Rockies prospects to be one of the, you know, top 10, top 15 guys within that system.
Yeah, he's looked good. I saw him the other night, and he threw 2 innings. A lot of pitchers here don't throw. It's just to get work in, so maybe they'll develop some stuff. It's sort of like spring training in that element. Like, there's not a lot of starters going 6 or 7. So don't be alarmed when I say all these guys are throwing 2 and 3 innings. He threw 2 innings the other night, you know, scoreless, struck out. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but want to say like 4 or 5. He had kind of a rough year, both in terms of production and injuries, which are probably related. So it was just kind of good to see him healthy, because he hadn't pitched since June. He had a surgery for something on his elbow. And so he hadn't pitched since June. So him coming out here is just kind of to make up for lost time. And he looked good to go the other night when I saw him. That was a few days ago, so he's probably getting ready to throw again either today or tomorrow. But it's just good to see him healthy, see what he does. We kind of know who he is as a pitcher. He's got good stuff. It's just a matter of building up those innings and then maybe competing for a spot in spring training next year.
He is William Boer, reporter for MLB and MLB Pipeline. You can follow him at WBoer. Will, thanks so much for the time.